We're in John chapter 7, and it's the tail end of that chapter, verses 37 through 52. I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles, the Pew Bibles. And then next week is Palm Sunday, and the following week is Easter, and we'll take a break from the Gospel of John and look at those great days. As we look at this passage here, remember, it's connected to the rest of John chapter 7, where Jesus and then really all Jews went to Jerusalem for the feast of booths or tabernacles or tents. It's expressed in different ways. They went there to worship God, and Jesus, in the middle of the feast, revealed himself. That's in the middle of the week, and began to teach, and now we're on the last day of the feast. It's the great day, and Jesus now is continuing to teach, and he's going to be expressing some things that he's going to get a variety of responses. So that's what we're going to be looking at partly here, is how are people viewing Jesus and responding to him? And what is Jesus teaching us here, especially about the Holy Spirit? There's something incredible. We just affirmed in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is teaching us something very amazing here. So let's take a look now at John chapter 7. I encourage you to follow along. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When they heard these words, some of the people said, this really is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was? So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why did you not bring him? The officers answered, no one ever spoke like this man. The Pharisees answered them, have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, who had gone to him before and was one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? They replied, are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee. So they're divided the way that they view Jesus. And it's mostly revolves around him saying, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I would say that for all of us, that our view of Jesus has changed over the years. And each of us have a different story and perhaps view Jesus in a different way. And then as we think about family and friends and neighbors and co-workers, different people have different views of Jesus, and they too perhaps will change over time. So some of the views we see here, it's important for us to look at them, maybe to identify and say, that's where I was or that's where I am now, and that's where some other people are for these views, and how can I express who Jesus is to them? So the first one that we see here is in verse 40, and it says, when they heard these words, some people said, this really is the prophet, and others said, this is the Christ. They were expressing belief in Jesus. It might not have been complete yet. In fact, our belief, our trust in Jesus is not complete. We don't know everything about him. We just know a fraction, and we're learning all the time. And every time we open up Scripture, we should be seeing things a little bit clearer, a little bit deeper, maybe seeing some connections between different verses and saying, I hadn't seen that before. And I see God, his purposes are far greater than I had imagined. So we're always learning. Where they were was still at a point of belief. They were believing in Jesus. Remember, he had just given a promise. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So the goal is belief. And that's indeed what the whole Gospel of John is about. You know, John's purpose that he gave in chapter 20 was that we would believe in him, and that by believing in him, we would have life. And so we want to grow in that life in Christ. So it's by belief. So one of the responses, and we come here today because we believe. So it's our response. And many people believe. But it says, but some said, is the Christ to come from Galilee? Didn't the scripture say that he would come from the town of David, which was Bethlehem? So they're questioning. See, these are people who are, for the most part, in the household of faith. They've gone to synagogue and a temple. They're there at the feast. They're celebrating the things of God. They know the scriptures. Didn't the scriptures say that the Christ was to be born here in Bethlehem, just a little bit south of us, south of Jerusalem? And they're right. What they didn't know is the true place where Jesus was born. It was incomplete for them. But they were questioning. See, that's not a bad place to be. And probably some of us have been in that place where we're questioning about who Jesus is and questioning about what God is doing. And so we have family and friends and co-workers and neighbors who are questioning about Jesus, maybe trying to look at some of the scriptures and say, well, how do these things really fit together? Next week, Palm Sunday, you know, looking at Jesus coming in as a king. And one of the things, he goes into Jerusalem and he turns over the tables, the money changers. And there's some people that look at that and say, now how can Jesus be perfect if he got angry? Good questions. And so we pursue things like that, and we begin to understand what he was really angry about, and there can be a righteous indignation. It can fit together, but those are good questions. People have questions similar to that, and they're questioning. And it doesn't mean that they're never going to believe. But it comes for us. It's that kind of a touchstone. It's that place where we can begin and share something even more. Listen to their questions and say, boy, let's explore that. And so one of the views of Jesus was to question about him. Another one is these officers that were sent to arrest Jesus. They listened. What a great opportunity they had. They didn't go there of their own free choice. They were sent. But while they were there, they really listened. And here's their view of what they saw. It said, no one ever spoke like this man. That's why they didn't arrest Jesus and bring him in to the authorities. No one ever spoke like this man. They wondered about Jesus. And I use the word wonder there in kind of two senses. One is they were wondering. They were questioning. They were wondering, but they also, there was a sense of wonder and awe. Hearing Jesus, seeing that there was something more. He didn't speak like the authorities on Scripture. He spoke with authority, as though his words were the word of God, because that's what they are. And they had the ring of truth. People saw consistency in what he said and what he did, and that his words just seemed to come alive, fulfilling what Scripture said. And so there are people, and sometimes it's us, who have that wonder, the positive sense of wonder about, wow, this Jesus. And sometimes that leads to faith, but sometimes that wonder just sort of hangs there. And people see Jesus as a good teacher, good man, saying great things. And they have that sense of awe in the wisdom that he taught. But it doesn't go much further. See, and Jesus is always wanting to move us towards belief. So again, that place that allows us to kind of launch into a discussion with someone and to say, let's look at Jesus. These things that we wonder about, what does it lead us to? But as in every era, there were those who hear Jesus or read the words, and there is disbelief. They just simply never reach a point of belief. And so the Pharisees are there, and they say to these officers that went to arrest Jesus and didn't, said, have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities, the Pharisees, believed in him? See, they were hostile towards Jesus. They wanted to see him put to death. They wanted to silence him. Now, some of them thought that he was a heretic, and he was saying things that were wrong. It was blasphemy. But some of them just wanted to hold on to their power. And even today, if we're not holding on to power, like what they had in the religious system, we want to hold on to our own power a little bit. There are some who just want to say, I want to choose my destiny. I want to make decisions about what is right. And so there is a disbelief that arises because we don't want to believe the words that Jesus says, because they challenge us. They challenge us down to the very core of who we are. I want what I want. It's part of human nature. I want what I want. And Jesus says, yield your lives to God. Trust in God in all things. Years ago at a different church, there was a man who died, and his wife was a member of the church, but he was not. And a song that was played during the service was Frank Sinatra's My Way, because that's what he wanted, and his family wanted that, because it really symbolized who he was. Now, I'll tell you this right now. In a memorial service that I officiate, you're never going to have that song in the service. And I hope nobody here would ever want it, because it is as antithetical to the gospel as you can get. My way, not God's way. And the sad thing about it is, as people shared during the service, as they do the time of sharing, and so there was family and friends from work and from the country club and neighbors, and as they shared about his life, the one thing that was missing was God. Absolutely nothing about God. Because it wasn't important to him. His way was what was important. Jesus came that we might have life. And he says, whoever believes in him, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And that's what Jesus desires for everyone. Because he knows that those who don't believe and who want it just my way miss out on life for eternity. Jesus' call upon our life is one to life, to hope, to joy. And he describes that as this flowing rivers, living water. It's a great image. Now, there was one other person whose response is here. It's Nicodemus. Now, we had encountered Nicodemus earlier, who came to Jesus in the night. He's a Pharisee. He came to Jesus at night because he didn't want the other Pharisees to know he's going to Jesus. He was a secret believer. He was challenged by Jesus, but here he's defending Jesus. You can see in Nicodemus, there's this, you know, we ought to give him the benefit of the doubt. Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? He's a just man. But in secret, he's believing Jesus. Now, at the end, Nicodemus is going to come clean. He's going to come out and profess Jesus. He's going to show people that he has faith. But there's a time when people's faith in God, in Jesus, is a little bit more on the secret side. But Jesus is calling for the public side to come out. Because our faith, the life that we have, is meant to be passed on to others, not just kept in secret. So our call to faith. Well, let's take a look at this flow of the Holy Spirit, because this living water, John goes on to say that this Jesus said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Spirit, I want to talk first about, what about the presence of the Holy Spirit before Jesus' ministry? What about before Pentecost then? Because wasn't the Holy Spirit present before? If we need the Holy Spirit now to believe and to continue to grow in our faith, how did they do it back in the Old Testament time? Well, the answer to that is that Jesus is saying when the Spirit is given at Pentecost, there's something new happening there. It's not that the Spirit wasn't present before. In fact, we see the Holy Spirit present the very beginning of creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Spirit of God was present in creation. And so we see part of the sovereignty of the Spirit, part of the Godhead at work in creation. But another is in the passage that I used for confession, David's prayer of confession in Psalm 51. And David talks about, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Renew me. Give me the joy of your salvation. See, he knew the Holy Spirit. And David knew what it was like not having God's Spirit with him because of his sin. It had distanced him from the Spirit of God. So the Spirit was there. And David wanted that intimacy again. So the Spirit's presence was there, brought renewal and joy. And then with John the Baptist, as he's heralding Jesus, is pointing forward, says that he is baptizing with water, but Jesus is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. There is something greater coming, is what he's saying. So the fulfillment of this that takes place at Pentecost is not now there's the Holy Spirit because there was the absence before. It's the Spirit was present, but now the Spirit is coming in a new dynamic way that is going to impact the church like never before. Jesus says that this fulfills the Scripture. What's he talking about? Which Scriptures? We look back and he's really kind of pulling together a couple of passages. And this is what is done in the New Testament. And they'll talk about the Scriptures were fulfilled. Sometimes they might point just to one verse, but usually it's to several, showing that God was giving that message in different times and through different prophets. In Isaiah chapter 44, it says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." The Spirit is likened to water on thirsty land. Spirit quenches something within us. What is it? It's a thirst. It's the thirst for God. The thirst for significance and meaning. Just the thirst for our Creator. So the Spirit is the only one, as the presence of God in our lives, that can quench that thirst, that desire. And so we look for it in a lot of places, sometimes really wrong places, but sometimes with spirituality, just kind of seeking something more. Jesus is saying, here is where it is. It's found through the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. In John chapter 4, when Jesus was talking to the woman of Samaria, they were at a well, and he's using the image of water with her as well, and he says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will well up inside of that person and be a spring of water to eternal life." So Jesus is offering something incredible here, and it's fulfilling passages from the Old Testament, God's purposes, and it is to satisfy our spiritual desires. Now, the fulfillment of Scripture is also then to clean, to create a new heart, and to indwell us. We see that in Ezekiel 36. And God says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." God is saying that our hearts without a spirit are a heart of stone. In other words, they're just hard. We can't do anything without God doing a work in us, creating a new heart. I'll give you a heart of flesh, a new heart that beats with the rhythm of God's heart. And it cleanses us of all uncleanness. Isn't that great to know? You know, we pray for God to forgive us. And it's not in part, but it's in whole. Complete and utter forgiveness, completely clean in His eyes. He says, "I will put a new spirit within you. I will put my spirit within you," He says. What an amazing thing for us to think about God's Spirit within us. Promised in the Old Testament, fulfilled through what Jesus said and did, and the Spirit came in its fullness at Pentecost. Fulfillment of Scripture means life for us. So the Spirit is at work to quench our thirst, to clean us, to give us a new heart, dwell within us, the presence of God within us. And the Spirit of God also reveals the glory of Jesus. We'll read verse 39 again. I want you to see the connection here. Now, in speaking about, "out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water," he says, "Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Once Jesus was glorified, when he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And then after that was Pentecost, the Spirit is given. After he was glorified, the Spirit is given to reveal to us the glory of Jesus. It's one of the roles of the Spirit of God, to point to the glory of Jesus. In John chapter 16, so this is later in the gospel, kind of towards the end when Jesus is teaching his disciples, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, it's Jesus speaking, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit continues to reveal to us the glory of Jesus, who he is, all of who Jesus is and what he has done, and reveals it to us, not just our minds, but our hearts, our spirits, our very being, so that we can grow in this knowing Jesus, knowing God, and grow deeper and deeper in faith, to believe. It's good news for us, this fulfillment of Scripture, the Holy Spirit in our lives, for we cannot do it on our own. We are dependent upon the Spirit. And as we encounter people who have various responses to Jesus today, it is through the Spirit of God that we seek wisdom of what to say, what to share, to perhaps move them a step away from questioning or wondering, or believing in secret, or maybe even their hardness of heart and disbelief, moving them towards believing. For we desire all people to know the life that is found in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have poured out your Spirit upon us, that we have this flowing into us, not from our power or design, but from yours, not in ways that we can predict, but according to your sovereign will, and revealing to us the things of Jesus. Lord, help us to see more clearly. Help us to believe more deeply. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.